familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
You've probably heard conflicting information about drinking alcohol while breastfeeding. Is it safe to occasionally drink a beer or a glass of wine when breastfeeding? How long should you wait? How will it affect your baby? Should you pump and dump? I'm Dr. James Murphy, a pediatrician here in Solana Beach, just north of San Diego. Today we are talking about breastfeeding and drinking alcohol, the do's and don'ts. This is the Boob Group.
Breast milk, it does a baby good.
Silly daddy, boobs are for babies.
I make milk. What's your superpower?
If my breastfeeding offends you, put a blanket over your head.
Dairy diva.
Don't be lactose intolerant.
Nursing nature's own breast enhancement.
Meals on heels.
Whoever said there's no use crying over spilled milk never had to pump.
Breast milk. All udders are inferior.
Whatever your point of view, we're here to support your breastfeeding goals. We're the Boob Group, because mothers know breast.
Welcome to the Boob Group, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. The Boob Group is your weekly online, on-the-go support group for all things related to breastfeeding. I'm your host, Leilani Wild. I'm also an IBCLC and owner of Leilani's Lactation and Doula Services. Are you a member of the Boob Group Club? Join today and receive exclusive bonus content, transcripts, and discounts from our partners. Visit the members section on our website, newmommymedia.com, for more information. And while you're there, check out all our direct links to download our free apps available in the Android, iTunes, and Windows Marketplace. Now, Sunny is going to tell us more about our virtual panelist program.
Okay. Hi, everybody. So I am on Facebook and Twitter right now, checking our account. I'm going to be posting some of the topics that we're talking about here in the studio. We welcome you guys to be part of it. And I usually post some stuff before we start recording as well. So follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Look for the hashtag BoobGroupVP. That VP stands for virtual panelist. And you can join the conversation. So let's meet some of the people that are joining us here in the studio. I'm actually going to participate in this conversation, so I'll tell you a little bit more about myself. So I'm Sunny, and I own New Mommy Media, which produces The Boob Group, Parent Savers, Preggy Pals, and Twin Talks. I have four children of my own. They are currently all age four and under, a four-year-old boy, a three-year-old boy, and identical twin girls who are about 19 months old. And Jennifer, tell us a little bit more about yourself.
My name is Jennifer. I'm probably 32. I might be 33. My husband keeps track of that. I don't. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I have two kids. My son is 4 and a half, and my daughter here, who you can hear, is 9 months today.
Nice.
Sounds familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
All right, before we start today's conversation about breastfeeding and drinking alcohol, we are going to talk about this headline. And the headline kind of just stops you in your tracks. The headline is, should moms be paid to breastfeed? And my answer is, yeah, I would love to be paid. Now, I want to know, since I'm breastfeeding twins, do I get double the money? That's the big question that I have.
We want paid maternity leave.
Well, yeah, exactly. Let's start with the basics first, right? Okay, so this is interesting. These UK researchers are testing a program. I guess they've tested in a couple small cities over the last few years. They're saying it's quote unquote showed promise. But this is it. Their program gives women $310 in vouchers for free food, toys, and household goods if they agree to breastfeed for 6 months. And the big question is, you know, would something like that work here in the US? Like I said, they're still testing it in the UK. Would that work here in the US? As you guys know, we do have WIC, which offers, you know, financial assistance.
Food coupons. And-
food, yeah. So WIC offers vouchers, food coupons, things of that sort for low-income families. So we kind of have something in place for that. But this would be something that really expands that. And it's not just based on low income anymore. And the idea behind it is because breast milk is so good for baby, that baby is going to have less problems in the long run, saving them money than if they just, you know, just try to encourage it wherever possible, right?
Well, you know, I'm curious as where's that money coming from? I mean, is that from our tax dollars we're paying women to feed their children?
Well, I think it is in England. I think that's what they're doing over in England. But yeah. Well, right? How would we do that here?
Right,
is that
part
of Obamacare? I don't know.
Yeah, well, remember that when the mommy is breastfeeding, it's reducing breast cancer, ovarian cancer, colorectal cancer. So by having patients live longer and better lives and utilizing less medical care, you're saving a great deal of money. Well, so a little bit money invested up front can really reap dividends.
That's the idea, yeah.
Right.
But getting the mother to breastfeed for 6 months is predicated on having a system that can support the mother to do that.
That's right. I mean, I just read someone was told they had to feed their baby pump in the bathroom at work. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, that's crazy. I mean, that's still happening and it's against the law. So, I mean, we do have a long ways to go, I do believe. And I'm, you know what? Anything to promote breastfeeding, I'm all for it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Jennifer, what do you think about this?
I think it's a great idea.
Where's my $310?
Yeah, I'm 9 months in, so I'm already owed that. Yeah, it would obviously be based off of taxes. And do I want my taxes to be higher to support that? Maybe not.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think, you know, it's a double-edged sword. Yeah, I'd love to have the money, but I don't want to end up paying the money either.
Right.
Right.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Today on The Boob Group, we're discussing breastfeeding and drinking alcohol. Our expert, Dr. James Murphy, pediatrician here in San Diego, California. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Murphy, and welcome to the show.
I'm pleased to be here.
There seems to be a lot of misconceptions about drinking alcohol and breastfeeding. Is it safe to have a drink or two while breastfeeding?
It's difficult to give an absolute answer to that question because the studies that we have are suggestive of deficits in many areas in infants when the mother has one or two glasses a week of alcohol. But can we modify that in such a way that we have food introduced along with the alcohol to keep the level lower but longer? Can we time it so that the mother can begin drinking when she's beginning nursing so that the peak alcohol level in the blood will go and the breast milk, which is relatively the same, will go up and then down again, and roughly 2 hours later it's down to a very safe level to nurse? But it all depends on how much alcohol the mom takes in and how soon the baby demands to be breastfed next.
Right,
so
and
safe is a relative term.
And the type of alcohol too, right? It makes a difference?
Well, it's the absolute amount of alcohol. So the recommendation has been mom take in no more than 8 ounces of wine, two beers, or the equivalent in one drink of hard liquor.
Okay.
So it's the absolute amount of alcohol in whatever you're taking. The particular wine, beer, hard liquor doesn't make a difference.
Okay. Jennifer, what have you heard in regards to drinking and breastfeeding?
Well, everything that I've heard was, the slogan right now is if you can drive, you can breastfeed. And so I don't know why people kept saying that. And I'm like, well, where does this come from? There's got to be some science behind this new slogan that everyone's talking about. So I asked where it came from or why people think this. And I was given a link to a scientist, a woman who had a baby, and she actually did her own research where she tested her milk and her blood with her own equipment at home while she was breastfeeding. And I thought that was really interesting. So I actually didn't drink at all after I had my first child. I breastfed him for 14 months, and I never had any alcohol the entire time. But I read the article, or I read her research, and I actually started having wine since I've had this baby. That's my experience with it was, this woman had actually done the research herself, which most places, I think, won't support that kind of research because you're talking about giving infants alcohol, essentially. So it's probably not, I don't think it's well studied at this point.
Right. Well, that's true. I know that some people do take or consider drinking like beer to increase their milk supply. What do you think
that's
about
that? Fallacy. A fallacy that milk is a galactagogue. It actually impairs the secretion of prolactin, and it actually over time can decrease the amount of milk you produce as well as decreasing the milk ejection. So one physician in our ABM group has suggested that the babies that drank less milk and slept a shorter period of time and got less rest might have been because of the taste, that the babies have exquisite taste and exquisite smell. That's how they find the breast in the first place. And that this might be interfering with the baby's enjoyment of eating and may stop sooner. And that could be causing the problem, as opposed to alcohol at low doses has a stimulant effect. It makes you hyper rather than suppressed. And that the alcohol can interfere with sleep. We know that people who drink a lot, when they go to sleep very quickly, but they don't stay asleep long and they don't sleep well. And so it's the active phase of sleep that is impaired, and that's the phase that really gives us the most rest for our central nervous system and prepares us to get up and get going for the next interval. For us to be the next day for the baby, it's whatever comes next.
Right, right. So, I mean, if you had a patient that came in and asked you if it's okay or if it's safe to have a drink, because they've gone 9 months, knowing that it's different when you're pregnant versus when you're breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. What do you usually tell them?
I give them the handout, protocol number 21 from the Academy of Breastfeeding Medicine, guidelines for breastfeeding and substance use or substance use disorder, and it was revised this year. And so it states quite clearly on there that alcohol interferes with the milk ejection reflex. Alcohol levels generally parallel the blood level in the mother, so that if mother feels buzzed, the milk is buzzed. And that most sources advise limiting alcohol intake to the 8 ounces of wine, or the equivalent, two beers, and waiting 2 hours after the beginning of consuming that alcohol until resuming breastfeeding. So the idea is that if you drink it relatively quickly, you'll reach the peak and it will go down. If you sip it, it'll go at a lower level for a longer period of time. But at the end of 2 hours, it should be below the 0.02% blood level, which is considered relatively safe. Is anything absolutely safe? I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. But we know that if we get it down below 0.02% blood level, then it's 0.02% level in the milk supply. And we think that that's relatively safe. And for somebody who has to have their alcohol, then we need to counsel them on how to do it in the safest manner possible. We do counsel abstinence of alcohol while breastfeeding. And pediatricians are not dumb. We know that mothers tell us what we want to hear. We know that they don't tell us that they're drinking alcohol if it's not going to be well received. Mm-hmm. So we tell them, we give them a way to deal with the issue if they have to have the alcohol. Do it this way. It's the safest way to do it if you're going to do it at all.
Okay, good. Jennifer, how old was your baby when you had your first drink?
She was 6.5 months, I believe.
And did your baby ever respond differently when you breastfed?
From drinking?
Uh-huh.
So I actually had my first drink on Mother's Day this year. And we were in Las Vegas, of all places. And I had a glass of wine in Las Vegas, which is probably like half the size of a glass you'd pour yourself at home, I would think. And she slept all night, through the night for the first time. In her life. It was a good Mother's Day present.
So, with a study of one.
Yeah. You should start drinking because your baby will sleep through the night. No, don't do that. So that was my experience. I had another glass the next night and she did not sleep through the night.
And did she act like you know, because the flavor, did it alter? I mean, did you have that drink and then feed right away?
No, I had the drink at dinner time, which was around 5, and she goes to bed around 7, although we were in Vegas, so she probably went to bed around 8. So it was 3 hours later before she ate.
Okay.
She didn't act any differently. It was a very normal experience. She nursed the same amount of time.
Dr. Murphy, does it matter how old the baby is before we consider having a drink?
The one thing that we're concerned about is toxicity to the central nervous system. So the more well-developed the baby is, the older they are, the less the risk of the toxicity. So this is why absolutely no alcohol during pregnancy is necessary while the central nervous system and the rest of the body is forming. But then later, the older the baby, the better it is. So the more that you can delay introduction of alcohol into the diet, the better it would be. There's a big difference between men and women in metabolizing alcohol. Men seem to metabolize it very quickly and women much more slowly. And one television show which they had a bartender pour drinks for 3 women and then they measured their blood alcohol level until it was done. One woman was down to a safe level below 0.02 in 2 hours. The other one took 4 hours, and the last one was not allowed to leave until 8 hours. They had to keep the studio open late.
Did it have anything to do with the BMI of the women?
They didn't correlate it. We don't have any studies I know of that do correlate that. But we do know that women have different tolerance for alcohol. And so the one who can drink a man under the table is not going to be at risk for having high blood levels of alcohol. The one who drinks one drink and has to, you know, sleep in the car on the way home from dinner.
That would be
a problem.
Sunny, what about you? What's your experience?
You know, obviously didn't drink during pregnancy, but having a glass of wine or a glass of beer is something that my husband and I like to do just to kind of relax. And honestly, the more kids we had, the more I felt like I needed to relax. But obviously, you got to do that within reason, right? So I'm probably one of those people that, you know, did it a little bit sooner than most. My twins were preemies, so I did take that into consideration. That was something where I didn't really mess with that in the beginning. I wanted to make sure that, you know, once they got past their regular due date and they were breastfeeding fine, you know, and all that kind of stuff, that's when I considered it. I never really thought about doing it to increase milk supply or anything like that. For me, it was just a nice, you know, way to relax and to just spend time with my husband.
What kind of research, or did you have any, or did you just kind of go based off of what your friends were doing?
You know, I really didn't do a lot of research on it, to be honest. I was really freaked out with my first baby. You know, but these are babies 3 and 4. With my first baby, I bought those test strips. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Because I was totally freaked out about it. And then I really looked at how my babies reacted to it. I think that was the bigger thing.
What about those test strips, Dr. Murphy?
Among the AAP and the ABM, the opinion is that has been expressed to me by many members that they don't rely on the test strips. They think that measuring the amount of alcohol and doing a correct timing is much more relevant to giving a safe level of alcohol in the breast milk to your baby than using a test strip. It's just like the old, you can buy a breathalyzer that you carry around with yourself and use it, but they're nowhere near as accurate as the ones that the Highway Patrol uses.
Oh,
so,
good to know.
Yeah, so.
For other reasons, right?
This is the person that falls asleep after one drink, so, yeah. Okay, when we come back, we will discuss with Dr. Murphy how it affects the baby if you have too much to drink and whether or not we should pump and dump. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. We are here with Dr. Murphy, a pediatrician from San Diego. Dr. Murphy, is there a safe amount to drink while we are still breastfeeding our babies?
So alcohol is a toxin. It can poison the central nervous system at any dose.
The question is, at what dose level will there be a permanent effect, as opposed to the temporary effect for which everyone drinks alcohol? We don't know for sure. So the tests that have been done in the short term, from 12 months and 18 months, have showed some deficits. They have showed that there's impaired motor development and postnatal growth, decreased milk consumption by the baby, and sleep disturbances, active initially and not enough active sleep so that the baby's not getting the same quality of sleep. So these are two studies that have been done that have indicated that. There are longer studies done in Seattle over many years that have been able to document with higher levels of alcohol more significant deficits as the baby grows older. So we should think of alcohol as a toxic insult. It's a one-time toxic insult each time alcohol is introduced to the baby. It does a particular level of damage at that one time, and then it's gone. So there's not an ongoing deficit. There is a deficit as a result of a single insult or multiple insults at individual times that can then accumulate over time to show that the baby doesn't meet developmental milestones as expected. So the lower the level of alcohol, the less there's going to be a detectable, and it may not be detectable from the average individual in the normal IQ range. When larger amounts of alcohol are consumed, then you can see that it does have a deficit that is different from the average individual.
Well, from what I understand, when a mom drinks alcohol, and then when we're taking medication, the same thing, when it transfers through the breast milk, it's in a smaller ratio. Is that correct?
Well, no. Relatively, the blood level in the mother is the same as the level of alcohol in the breast milk. It's very similar levels. So that's why you can think that when you're feeling a blood level in yourself, you know that your milk's not safe.
And that's kind of what Jennifer was saying. Yeah. If you can drive, you can breastfeed.
And that's saying that it's below the 0.02 level, but fingers crossed.
Right. I don't really subscribe to that.
Right.
But if you're feeling clear-headed, if you're feeling...
Most of the people who are stopped for DWI say they felt just fine.
Oh, that's true.
Doesn't work.
So really, you just have to watch your consumption, how much, and not regularly.
Measure it and time it. Mm-hmm. That's your best way to go.
Okay. What about pumping and dumping? You know, we hear people think that that's the answer to having a drink.
Well, if you have a high level of alcohol in your breast milk, then it's not good for the baby. So it's a judgment call as to the value of breast milk and the things that it accomplishes in prevention of SIDS and so forth. That value is lost if the breast milk is discarded. And then the damage that the alcohol might cause is also discarded. So it's a judgment call as to how much alcohol you think is in there, whether if it's really, really high, if you're really very buzzed, you shouldn't be breastfeeding that baby. So the baby needs to be given some alternate means of nutrition at that point. If you pump the milk out, you just lose it because the alcohol doesn't go down when it's not in your body so that you can metabolize it. If you put it in the refrigerator, the alcohol stays at the same level. The only way to reduce the alcohol is to pump milk that doesn't have alcohol and add it to the milk that does to dilute down the alcohol level that you could give at a later time.
Right. And that's actually one of the things that I have recommended to moms. I said, if you ever have a date night or you go to a wedding or a party or something, you're likely to have more than you normally would if you're going to have a drink. And so I tell them, go ahead and pump and then store it in your freezer and mark it alcohol. And then later on, when the baby's older, you can divvy it up into smaller quantities and then you can give it to them safely. Their body is older, more mature, and can handle the smaller levels at that point because it is kind of mixed up.
So as long as the breast milk stays in the breast, the alcohol is metabolized.
Right.
Once it's excreted, then it stays at the level that it's at when it's expressed.
Right. A mom could think that she just pumped and then after she pumped out that initial amount of milk, then she's safely to breastfeed. But that's not true because it's still in her bloodstream.
You have to wait until the time period where the alcohol is down to a safe level. And that depends on how much you drank and how quickly you ingested it. as to when you can get down to a safe level.
Right, right. So I had heard something, and I have a feeling now after listening to you guys talk that this is false as well. But I had heard that if you pump, okay, and let's just say you put them in the freezer, you put them in bags in the freezer, that after a way extended period of time, like talking 6 months plus, that then if you thawed the milk, then the properties would at least be lower. Have you guys heard? No, that's not true.
No,
at all. That's no. Just I mean, something we tell ourselves to feel better.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, have you guys ever pumped and dumped?
I have not. I don't like pumping, first off. So I'd rather either not drink or, even resort to formula. I just don't like pumping. So it's not my first choice.
Right. Well, I have not pumped and dumped that I'm aware of. I don't think I've done that. But I did do that thing that I was telling you about that I heard about, where if you froze your breast milk and you put it in, and then for extended, I marked it alcohol, an extended period of time, gave it to my kids. So I had done that. But the kids were pretty old by the time that I did that. But again, I thought I was doing the right thing. So I'm glad we kind of clarified that today.
Good. Okay. Thank you so much, Dr. Murphy and Jennifer, for helping us all understand the do's and don'ts of breastfeeding and drinking alcohol and some of the experiences you have all had. And for our Boob Group Club members, our conversation will continue after the end of this show, as Dr. Murphy will discuss his recommendations on what to do in order to prepare for maybe an upcoming event. When you plan on having a drink. So for more information about our Boob Group Club, please visit our website at newmommymedia.com.
So here's a question from one of our listeners. This is from Lindsay, and this is what she asked. I was diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome and put on metformin, and I'm going to butcher the name of this, but I think it's spironolactone. No one told me that would increase my chances of conception. They said I was infertile and even IVF probably wouldn't work for me. Anyways, it's very important for me to breastfeed and have been going for almost 8 months under the assumption that those meds are not safe during breastfeeding. I looked at Lactmed and don't really understand what it says. My doctor wasn't helpful with this either. Has anyone used these meds while nursing? I'd really like to go back on it if it's safe for my girl.
Hi, this is Veronica Tingzon, International Board Certified Lactation Consultant and private practice and hospital-based lactation consultant in the San Diego area. Everything that I've read on Lactmed and also medications in mother's milk by Hale say that there's no evidence that it's not safe. A lot of times, pharmacists, doctors, and even the packaging itself contains a warning for pregnant and or breastfeeding women about, you know, whether a medication is safe or not to use during breastfeeding or pregnancy. So one of the things that I would look at is, does the benefit outweigh the risk? And if it does for you, then you can go ahead and take it. The studies show that very, very, very little of the spironolactone gets into the milk. So really not a lot is going to be passed through the milk. And metformin is actually a drug that's commonly used while breastfeeding. It's a drug that's used for moms with insulin issues who are diabetic. Usually a type 2 diabetic mom will use metformin, and it works great. And as a matter of fact, if you look at the book Making More Milk by Lisa Marasco and Diane West, it talks about how many moms with PCOS are actually asked to stay on the metformin when they are experiencing low milk supply. So I don't know why that medication would be stopped. Really, the spironolactone is the one that really has the question mark behind it, because we just don't know that much about it. But metformin has been proven to be safe. So continue to use it if it helps you, and, you know, continue to breastfeed away. I think it's wonderful that you were able to have your quote-unquote miracle baby, because, you know, that was not really in the cards for you at that time. So I think that's great. Congratulations, and keep doing what you're doing. You're a great mom.
That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to The Boob Group. Don't forget to check out our sister show, Preggy Pals for Expecting Parents, Parent Savers for Moms and Dads with Infants and Toddlers, and Twin Talks for Parents with Multiples. Thanks for listening to The Boob Group, your judgment-free breastfeeding resource.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
New Mommy Media is expanding our lineup of shows for new and expecting parents. If you have an idea for a new series, or if you're a business or organization interested in joining our network of shows through a co-branded podcast, visit newmommymedia.com.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.